In a little bit, we'll bring the mothers back. We'll not have a long session today, I don't think, unless revival breaks out. Wouldn't be great, right? Mother's Day, we'll always remember. Revival broke out on Mother's Day. Hallelujah. So, we'll have a ministry and pray over all the mothers. And a lot of the mothers are being mothers next door. Hallelujah. And we can't wait for other young married women in the church to also become mothers in the future, if that's their desire. Hallelujah. So we're giving time for everyone to find their seat. Hallelujah. For Mike and all the other mothers to find their seat. Hallelujah. So it's good to have both my son-in-laws here. They're my sons, man. I don't have any son-in-laws. I have all sons and I have all daughters. And all grandchildren are the same. Hallelujah. Given time. Hallelujah. We missed anybody that wasn't there yesterday, and we know some just, it was impossible for you to make it, but you are missed. And hallelujah. Glory be to God. Again, happy Mother's Day to every mother that is watching and every mother that is here and listening. And all women, in that sense of the word, who are part of the gender that mothers create children. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your eternal grace over our life. And the goodness, God's goodness, we thank you for that goodness, for that love. We ask you to baptize us this morning in your presence, and that the mothers and the women in general will be blessed, and the power of your Holy Spirit will rest over us. We long desire for the days of outpouring. We believe that we're in the edge waters of it now, but oh, our hearts crave and yearn this place of the depth of God, the power that deep is called to deep. Your deep is calling to our spirits, come away with me, come away. Come away into this inevitable place that you've prophesied from the beginning of the church. That, Lord, the days of refreshing would come. Revival in our midst. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Let us see you high and lifted up. Hallelujah. This morning, most of you, under the sound of my voice, and those in here are awakened to a letter that was posted yesterday evening late that came into your inbox. And it was a letter, as I write once a month, a letter, teaching letter. And I very seldom, whether letter or service, pay very much attention to the actual proceedings of what the date is as far as holidays. I appreciate that. I appreciate Mother's Day and I appreciate holidays, but it's not the focus of my attention. I want to be spirit-led and feed you as God feeds me. But every once in a while, like today, God takes the theme of the day, which is Mother's Day, and writes a lesson. And in this particular instance, wrote the lesson for this particular letter that went out, and also for this morning, because I want to read it for you, or to you. And most of you probably have it in your inbox, and those of you that for whatever reason, need a hard copy, those will be available later at the end of the service. But for right now, I just want to read this to you and comment as the Lord shares. So hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed this morning? I believe that you are, and I pray that you'll be even further blessed as we go forward this morning. Now, I'm starting mine out in a very generic sense, saying, dear friend, but this is to all, and in a general sense, to the church. Let me put my spectacles on. In the 2002 film, The Bourne Identity, Matt Damon plays the part of a CIA operative who has lost his identity through amnesia and takes on one of his many passport names as Jason Bourne. His story to find out who he really is and what his life was before amnesia becomes a saga of high suspense blockbuster movies. Today, the church at large has so moved away from its original foundation of the teachings of Jesus that it has lost its identity through spiritual amnesia and has forgotten what manner of man it was created to be. Now, in particular, this morning, this letter is going to be aimed at or for the mothers and, in general, the women. But I want you to listen, because it's so vitally important that we identify the attack that is against women in the church, and in this particular writing, mothers in the church, because you have an incredible call, an incredible call. We want to identify that call, but also identify Satan's work against it. James 1, 22 through 24 says this, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner forgetteth. Beholds himself and forgets what manner of man he was. Spiritual amnesia. The world has so infiltrated the church that the church has forgotten who and what they really are. The church has allowed the world to define their existence. The church has allowed the world to tell us how we should define and think of ourselves. Instead of the church becoming salt, you know, that's what we're called to be, salt and light to the world for the purpose of penetrating the darkness, the world penetrated the church with darkness by redefining who we really are. There's no better example of this penetration of darkness than the vicious assault that the women of the church have suffered through a foreboding effort of satanic origin to redefine their identity and primary role in the church and family. Today, there is a spiritual attack against the women and mothers of the church to cause them to feel inferior compared to the so-called free and successful image that they see in the world. Satan has launched a seductive and covert attack in the form of emotional self-worth. He hides his venomous plan to devalue women and mothers through the ideas of false responsibilities. He creates a world of comparisons where women and mothers are forced to size themselves up against icons of beauty and success. The world has tried to define what a successful or non-successful mother is by categorizing it into many different metaphorical titles. It becomes almost humorous. We're going to read some things here, and I hope they become humorous to you. It becomes almost humorous to read all the categories given by modern secular society to mothers today. And you can find all of these. Don't Google them now, but you can find them, all of these. Helicopter moms. I hope you don't try to. It's going to be inevitable that you're going to be thinking, am I this? Am I that? Helicopter moms. A helicopter mom is often referred to as an over, part in over-parenting. It involves excessive levels of involvement and control by parenting parents in their child's lives. A motivation for this parenting style is driven by the parents' worry that their child might come to harm or not flourish. Tiger moms. A tiger mom is a form of strict parenting whereby parents are highly invested in ensuring their child's success. Specifically, tiger moms push their children to attain high levels of academic achievement or success in high status extracurricular activities such as music or sports. How many of you have seen the tiger moms, the soccer moms that are, I'll kick your butt if you ever say that to my child again. This child is going to be a world class. One of the things I don't like about going to football games sometimes is the dads that are living through, now I'm talking about dads living through their sons. Come on, man, let the boy be a boy. Dragon moms. A dragon mom is a mother of a child with a life-limiting condition. Sad. Why pay attention to a dragon mom's words? Well, at least, or at their best, dragon parents are mindful, conscious, and aware, skills that allow them to live and love in the now. Jellyfish moms. A jellyfish mom is a permissive parenting style. These parents are the opposite of the authoritarians. They project high warmth and communication, but take little control, tolerant, inconsistent daily routines, and provide few clear expectations for their kids. I hate it when jellyfish moms bring their children to our house. Not that I've ever had that happen. But if it did happen, Johnny's back and forth running on the couch, and jellyfish mom is like, Johnny's exercising. Johnny, don't tear up their couch too. Panda moms. A panda mom is all about gently guiding your little one as opposed to shoving them down the parenting path. In other words, a panda parent or mom is one who gives their kids the freedom to do things their own way. My mom was not a panda mom. I can tell you. Dolphin moms. Dolphin moms are, can you believe all this? I don't know where you're at. Dolphin moms are authoritative in nature. Like the body of a dolphin, they are firm yet flexible. Dolphin parents have rules and expectations, but also value creativity and independence. They are collaborative and use guiding and role models to raise their kids. Unicorn mom. A mother whose not perfect, enjoys alcohol, has a sense of humor, and couldn't care less what you think. Can you believe that? I mean, you can look all this up. And this is not an exhaustive list. It goes on. And I said, after a while, I said, no, that's just, we're having enough fun. But elephant moms, that's not overweight. Hey, you be nice now. That's not. Man, this is Mother's Day. No mother's jokes. Even though she may have her own zip code. That's not right. Candy's like, Bronk. An elephant mom allows their children more flexibility and choices rather than definite and strict guidelines that need to be followed. They may rock their children to sleep, whereas other parents would let them cry it out. China doll moms. I think of Barbie doll moms when I think of that. A China doll mom cannot cope with her problems and feels overwhelmed by what the child brings into her life. As a result, the child doesn't learn to deal with emotions. This makes him or her, as an adult, powerless in the face of feelings of anger, sadness, or fear that they or someone they know experiences. Lawnmower moms. Somebody said, I can't believe, what is this? Lawnmower moms will mow down any obstacle their child might experience. According to a professor who coined the term in a blog post, lawnmower parents rush ahead to intervene, saving the child from any potential inconvenience, problem, or discomfort. That was kind of fun, right? Although humorous and somewhat ridiculous, believe it or not, this is not an exhaustive list of all the psychological and emotional categories given to moms in parenting these days. You can find all these and much, much more. But what does the Bible say about the role of women, and specifically the role of mothers in the church? How can they guard themselves against false narratives that seek to devalue their role rather than fulfill it? The answer is always in the truth found in the Word of God. Women and mothers, when you were born into the kingdom of God, you were born with a spiritual identity that no category or status of this world could ever give you. Your call as a woman and mothers carry an anointing, if realized, in parentheses, if realized and engaged in, or engaged with, that is, it's a self-fulfilling beyond any status of this world. To begin with, every woman in the church, regardless of age, marital status, or motherhood, should consider themselves ministers of the, and in all caps, end time army of Christ, having a call from God equal to any man in the church. And I hope that makes some man mad. Equal to any man in the church. I'm not wanting to make people mad, but women, you have a call that can carry the same level of anointing of any man in the church. Glory to God. Joel 2:28 and 29, talking about this end time army. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your, in all caps, daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the, all caps, handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. The mindset of the world teaches that the basics of such things as motherhood, raising children, keeping house, and providing a safe and warm environment for husband and children are somehow an outdated and primitive art. The very concept is mocked and ridiculed by a woke Hollywood mentality that has entered the church environment. But is there an anointing on such a basic and so-called primitive instruction by God? We have to believe that if God gave instructions, then he also provided his grace and self-rewarding fulfillment in the acts of obedience to those instructions. Now, let me give you just a number of those instructions by the word of God concerning women, wives, and mothers. This is in Ephesians 5, 22 and following. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then Colossians 3, 18 and following through 20. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. And then 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair or the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It's great. It's an asset to be pretty. It's wonderful to look really nice, dress nice. But he's saying this, especially for the conversion of the lost, and I'll add this with an asterisk beside it as well, to have a future, long-lasting home and sobriety, solidarity to truth, no infidelity ever. It's not going to be how well you stay built or how much your outward adorning is. Those are add-ons. They're great. But it's whether or not you have the wealth of the Holy Spirit. And by that, Paul says, this is what will hold the marriage together. This is what the thing that God will anoint. Titus 2, 3 through 5, to the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, and not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I like what the Amplified said of this, so I included it in the letter. Verse 3, bid the older women similarly to be reverent and devout in their deportment, as becomes those engaged in sacred service, not slanderers or slaves to drink, that they are to give good counsel and to be teachers of what is right and noble, so that they will wisely train the younger women to be sane and sober, temperate, disciplined, and to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled, chaste, homemakers, good-natured, kind-hearted, adapting and subordinating themselves to their husbands, that the word of God may not be exposed to reproach, blasphemed, or discredited, Motherhood carries an anointing, not a penalty. Can I get an amen? If a woman is married or has children, she should consider that this is the foundation of her ministry. It's the beginning part. It's the foundation. It is the beginning part by which everything else circumvents. This is not the limitation of her ministry, but this role must be fulfilled first and foremost before all other things can be added. Paul, in his instruction to Timothy concerning women teaching or usurping authority over the man, wrote these words in context. And I'll say this for later. This particular teaching has mainly to do in a more personal way concerning husbands and wives. But in a general sense, let's look at this particular text. 1 Timothy 2:12. He said, "Suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." And then in verse 15, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety." I used to watch Pastor Dave. He'd badger in a loving way women sometimes with this. He would say, "You know, you can't be," it had to know you. He wouldn't do it. He'd have to really know you. "You can't be saved. You see this verse? You can't be saved unless you're, have you had children?" Or, "No, I don't want children." "Okay, well, I don't know about." Pastor Dave would often expound on these verses, teaching that Paul was certainly not saying that a woman's salvation was based upon her willingness or ability to have children. This would be ridiculous. Rather, the interpretation would be that if a woman was married, she should have a willing heart to become a mother, if possible, and keeper of the home. Then out of that ministry, she would be free or saved, as Paul uses, which could be understood as sanctified, to do whatever else the Lord called her to do, even to teach in the church. Of course, not all women are married, and nor do all married couples desire children. But the essence of the message is a humble and submissive heart towards her first call. And in this case, especially in the role of a mother and homemaker. When I think of this type of scripturally based scenario of mother and homemaker first, and career or job second, my mind can easily think of one particular lady among others. This lady is a married woman, and she is a born-again Christian, and by her association with a charismatic group that I've read about, is thought to be a Holy Spirit believer, in other words, a tongue talker. She and her husband have 7 children, ranging in the age from 9 to 20 years old. 2 of the children are adopted from Haiti, and the last biological child that they had has Down syndrome. However, she and her husband learned that the greatest ministry that they could have in this life was to serve as parents first before going on to serve in career and status titles. This particular woman is none other than Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Justice Barrett became the 5th woman to serve on the Supreme Court and was nominated by President Donald Trump and has served since October 27, 2020. Amy Coney Barrett became the 3rd and last conservative justice nominated by President Donald Trump before the end of his presidency. It was Barrett's vote, being the last appointed conservative justice, in the slim 5-4 margin on June 24th. I'll always remember that. That's our anniversary. June 24th, 2022, that overturned 50 years of ruling presidents in Roe versus Wade. Amy Coney Barrett's one vote, just one vote, one person, one lady, because of the position God put her in, will no doubt save millions of babies that may have been aborted in the future. What an incredible honor to have as a person and as a woman to know you were responsible by God's grace to save the lives of a future generation. 50 years after the 1973 Supreme Court ruling that opened up our nation to abortion, God uses a woman who counts being a mother and homemaker her greatest calling by God in this life to overturn the nation's greatest evil. To all women, young and old, in the church, remember your greatest days of ministry are ahead of you. Nothing and no one can stop what God has planned for your ministry in this revival. Women who are mothers, your identity has not been lost in serving first as a mother who will train, nurture, and fight alongside this future Joshua generation. And in all caps, motherhood is not a loss of identity, but rather a promotion. It is neither a hindrance nor a restriction of many other things being fulfilled through your life. You were born again, in all caps, you were born again with an identity in Christ. Happy Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Amen. Very good. We're going to ask all our mothers to stand and all the mothers next door. Somebody go and get them and maybe they can hear my voice. You got to come over here now. And you probably have to bring the little ones because you can't leave them over there by themselves. Okay. And all you mothers, please come forward, if you will, and stand facing the audience. And we're going to wait till our daughters get in here. Just find a place. It doesn't have to be next to anybody you really like. Just find a place. Okay. Hallelujah. They're coming. We have our, isn't that great? Look at this. Can you just kind of spread this way just a little bit? Scooch. Hallelujah. I guess, it takes a little while because all the little kids are probably, I probably interrupted them right while they're making something for their mom. So we'll give them just a moment. Hallelujah. Marty, give us a little bit. I think I've lost both of my worship leaders. See, Harry's not going to get paid for another month. I'm not supposed to have both of my worship leaders out of the building at any given time. So here they come. Marty will give us something. Hallelujah. What's that? Who? Oh, anybody else over there? I guess. Would you please check and see? Here they come. Okay. All my words fall short. I got nothing new. Any other mothers over there? Amber? Okay. Well, Marty, you can turn that off. I didn't want it to start with. Let's all stand. And I address this to all you wonderful, beautiful mothers out there in streaming land. We love you. Happy Mother's Day. Candy, would you please? And Amber and Davey. Hallelujah. Does anybody know how to play the piano? Yeah, I really, really need to have a... Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Don't they look beautiful? Hallelujah. Wonderful. Mothers, we love you so much. And my mom has been in heaven. This September will be, where's Candy at? 6 years? Mom's gone 6. And maybe some of your moms are gone. And hey, Harry, how you doing, buddy? I know you're over there keeping the little guy. That's why both of them are gone. Their wives are in here. They're over there. They're okay. They're taken care of. You know what can I say? You know, I can't say nothing, man. It's my bad. Okay. Hallelujah. Would everybody stretch your faith by putting your hand this way, and let's just bless them. And I'm going to pray the prayer I pray for these guys, women, mothers, is also meant for you as well out there in streaming. You're part of our church. So, Father, right now, I just pray that, Lord, that if there's any of these ladies that are up here that are struggling physically, and I know we all need things changed in our bodies, but I pray for every single one of these women that you will touch them physically, that you will raise them up in these last days, that ailments, physical infirmities, anything life-threatening, anything non-life-threatening, pains, inability to do things that they would like to do, and emotional, the war that the enemy has come against the emotions of these mothers and those mothers through the camera, and they're physical. I speak to these things as women of faith, that you will raise them up in these last days, and that you will cause their head to be exalted above, as David said, their enemies. You have lifted this generation of women up to become warriors of faith. And we just pray in the name of Jesus that they will not take their identification and really any of those different categories or anything else that could possibly come to them and say, this is who you are. I pray that their defining will be in raising godly seed. And if their past, if their children are out of the house, that these women and the women that are watching, that they will continue to pray for their families, and they will continue to nurture them in the power of the Holy Spirit through their prayers, that none will feel, and none that are watching, that you will feel as if things are lost. Hopelessness, I speak to you against prodigals. And I say, hopelessness, you are a spirit and you are put down. I say these prodigals are coming home in the name of Jesus. And they will be restored to the kingdom of God. There is nothing they have done. There is no road to their own that cannot and will not be turned in these last days. And I speak and I say, prodigals, come home. I agree with these mothers watching and these mothers here. And that any that have unsaved husbands, I call them born again in Jesus' name. That their husbands will come in the name of Jesus. And if there's any of these women here, or the women watching, who are struggling in their marriage, I pray that God, that the healing power of God will come upon their marriages. I pray that they themselves will find a liberty, and there will be a communication between they and their husbands. Their husbands will begin to consider them a great gift from God. But I pray that the brainwashing that the world has tried to come with in these last days to take women, devalue them, and mothers to devalue them by placing icons of success and saying that's what you need to be like. God, I pray this will be destroyed. I pray that this altar, this particular idol, the altar to this particular God will be broken off of their lives in the name of Jesus. I pray that it will be destroyed. And I pray these women will be the most fulfilled women, having godliness in their hearts and their minds, and knowing that they have a call. And just every, if they're still at that stage, every diaper that they change, that they'll know this is a call from God. Every time they talk to a son or daughter at college or a university, every time that they talk to a son or daughter that is wavered and gone, that they will know that their first call in this life is to bring them back through their prayers and intercession and love. Jesus, I bless these women. I bless them physically. I bless them spiritually. I bless them emotionally. And I pray that, Lord, that they will be raised up in these last days and that they will know who they are and that their identity will be in Christ and not in this world. In Jesus' name, we bless them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Spirit, the Lord of the church, Jesus our sovereign, we bless these women and those that are watching. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give our mothers a great big hand. No church tonight. We'll be off honoring our mothers. So we will see you Wednesday night. God bless you all.